where we left off. Okay, we last week we were learning about the Korbanos. Okay, we're going to spend one more day on the Korbanos, at least one more day on the Korbanos, discuss a few things. If you don't hear me, if at any time there's problem with the if you have a problem hearing me, just raise your hand. Okay. So we learned last week about the Korbanos, and not just the Korbanos, there are a lot of sections. This part of the Avding after Birchas HaShachar has a lot of sections. There's the Akedah. Okay, so the Akedah we went through, and then we begin a section called Le'olam Yehei Adam Yirei Shamayim B'Seiser Uvagoloi Umoida Lo Emes. Okay, there's a section here that we discussed last week, which leads into Shema Yisrael, and concludes with the bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh Es Shemcha Barabim. So we discussed. Let's talk about this a little bit more. We discussed this week. Why? Just to review very quickly. Why do we say this bracha? The reason why we say this bracha goes back to the times of Shmad. The times of Shmad. There were different eras of Shmad. Shmad means destruction. There were times when Klal Yisrael were not able to be mekayim the mitzvahs because they were persecuted by the goyim. Most of the time it was the Romans. And the main period of Shmad was the time of Bar Kochva, the time of Rabbi Akiva, about, 50 years, 80 years after the Churban Bayesheni. It was a very difficult time, the time of the Asara Haruge Malchus. That was known as the Doroi Shel Shmad, the generation that was persecuted by the Goyim not to observe the Torah. And at that time, they were not permitted to recite Shema in the proper time, so they would cheat their enemies by reciting Shema before davening began. That's when they would recite Shema. We today continue to do so, Zecher, as a reminder of what, of this terrible era, of when they were not able to do so. And we do even more, we make a bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh Shemcha Barabim. The bracha was instituted as basically a shevach v'hoidah to Hashem after the Doroi Shel Shmad came to an end. Could you imagine today if we had leaders, gedolim, that had Ruach HaKodesh, they would probably institute a special bracha to make for all of us, who survived Corona. Okay, I mean, if we had Gedolim, they would certainly probably do something for Eretz Yisrael, the fact that we have in our possession Eretz Yisrael. I mean, there are different things that we need to commemorate. We need to commemorate horrible events, the Holocaust. Okay, we don't have Gedolim. This was a very big issue. Why don't we have a day that everyone in the entire Klal Yisrael accepts as a day to commemorate the Holocaust? Okay, that's a big topic. That's a very, very controversial topic. But here we find an example of where there was a generation of Shmad, and certainly many people died, and they instituted a bracha for the survivors. And the bracha is, Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh Shemcha Barabim. Now that the generation of Shmad is over, we were able to sanctify your name in public. We no longer have to go into a basement and hide to say Shema Yisrael. It's over. We recite the Shema, and we recite La'olam Yadam Yirei Shemaim B'Seis V'Agolui, and we make this bracha. Now, what I want to try to bring out over here is when we find that Chazal made commemorations. Do they make commemorations for sorrows, or do they make commemorations for salvation? And the truth is both. Every Shabbos we recite the Av Harachamim. The Av HaRachamim was composed primarily to commemorate those who died during the First Crusade. That is the Nusach of the Av HaRachamim. It was composed by the Beis Din of Rashi to commemorate Hatzara. Now, I don't know. I'm not familiar. Do we find that Chazal at that time, 1,000 years ago, did they do something to commemorate, to thank Hashem for those who survived the First Crusade? There were people who died in the First Crusade, and there were people who survived the First Crusade. How many people died in the First Crusade? No one knows for sure. It appears to be somewhere between 5,000 to 30,000, or maybe even 50,000. That's a very high number to say 50,000. But no one really knows. The honest truth is no one really has a clear number. The best estimates are between 10 to 30,000. Some say less. You study this, go look up all the stuff online. The estimates of how many people survived the Crusades, who were killed in the Crusades. So, but the Christians, their intent was not just to kill 10,000, whatever it was. Their goal was to kill us all, and we survived. Rashi's Beis Din composed the Av HaRachamim to commemorate those who died. Is there anything in our Nusach HaTzfilah, in our custom, to commemorate those who survived? I don't know, maybe there is. The Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, 24,000 Talmidim died. We commemorate them every single year during this time of the year by not having weddings and not listening to music. Did we do anything to commemorate the survivors? Maybe there were no survivors. What does it mean? Shloi Noahu covered Zelazet. Does that mean every last Talmud died? Well, he started again. So where is the commemoration of starting again? So some will tell you, yes, Lag BaOmer. It got a little hijacked by Rashbi, Lag BaOmer. But Lag BaOmer is the day when they stop dying, and that's the day that we commemorate a day of celebration. It's a day to thank Hashem for survival. There are times when it's always a double-edged sword. There's every time we come through an event in our history, we have to remember it both ways. We have to commemorate those who are lost, and we have to give thanks to Hashem for surviving those who survived and are able to continue to go forward. Okay, it's like that all across the board. Purim. On Purim, on the one hand, we celebrate Purim, but we also have a Tainus Esther. What's the Tainus Esther? It's not so clear. We discussed this many times. What is Tainus Esther? But definitely there's an element of Tainus Esther of thanking Hashem for surviving. Those who survive, the Yom Tov is to celebrate survival. But the Tainus is to commemorate the Tzara. It was a terrible Tzara. Daniel Ish Hamudais was collateral damage. He was murdered. The children, I always tell you this, the children were terrorized by Haman. There are Maamari Chazal that tell us this as a fact. Are we going to think that there was no collateral damage? People didn't have nightmares their entire life for what Haman did to these children? Okay, so now, same thing here as well. We have over here a very complex nusach. It's very bizarre, and you, when you learn the Mefarshim on these section, you get a sense that everyone is struggling to understand what is going on here. La'olam yehi adam yirei shamayim b'seiser uvagolui u'moida lo emes. It would appear that this is where it starts from. The bracha, let's take a step back. If we are making a bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh Es Shemcha Barabim, at the very end with Hashem's name, if that's the end of the bracha, you have to ask the question, where does the bracha begin? And no one seems to know. Does the bracha begin with the words Atahu Achlai Nivra Ha'olam, after we say Shema? Or maybe the bracha Shema is included in the bracha, and the bracha begins with the words Lefichach Anachnu Chayavim. Or maybe the bracha begins with le'olam. It's not at all clear. One of the svarim that I used to prepare, it cites a story from the Chazon Ish. There was a day when he just did not remember if he said this bracha. He was very meticulous in davening, not like, unfortunately, some of us, present company included here. And the Chazon Ish, he said this bracha every single day, Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh Shemcha Barabim. One day, he just really didn't remember. He did not remember if he made the bracha. So he called over someone to make the bracha for him, and he would answer Amen and Biyoyte with Shamea Ko'ine. And he told that fellow, start from Le'olam. And it seems from the story that there was a conversation. Why? If you want me to make the bracha, so I'll start from Atohu Achloi Nivre Ho'olam. And the Chazon Ish, who no, I don't, doesn't need any introduction. He basically said to him, I do not know where the bracha begins. And either does anyone, for that matter. And because there is a very great doubt, there is a suffix as to where the bracha begins, so why not start from the earliest possible point? The bracha begins with the word l'olam, and the bracha concludes, Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh Shemcha Barabim. And that's the very, it's a very, very long bracha. Maybe it's even the longest bracha in the entire, I don't know about that. Maybe it is. Maybe it's the longest bracha in the entire Siddur, if that's where the bracha really begins. And if that is really true, that it begins with L'Olam, and the, I want to suggest is that there are two elements here in this bracha. The first element is to commemorate the tragedy of the Doro Shel Shmat. And after we say Shema, we thank Hashem for survival. Every sorrow demands a double commemoration. To commemorate those who have been lost, those who suffered, and to thank Hashem for those who survived. Just like Corona. I mean, how many people died? It's not believable. It's not over yet. Okay, everyone is still, you know, Shavuos could not have fallen out in a more difficult time. If Shavuos, if Pesach was quiet, Pesach is Pesach. Everyone sat home. No one had any shilas what to do Pesach. There was no fighting on the blogs, on the news. Everyone sat home, sheltered in place. Shavuos, you know, if everything goes according to plan, halavai, no one knows. Rosh Hashanah, if everything, you know, Baruch Hashem will remain good, so Rosh Hashanah, everyone will go to shul. Is that going to be a shaila? Can you go to shul? Of course you can go. Should you take precautions? Of course, you know, everyone take precautions. Azoy, you know, minyanim, this, that. But of course, the shuls will be open by then, if everything goes according to plan. The shuls will be open, everyone will go. It's just we're going to be super duper over the top careful. But there's not going to be any debates in society if we should or should not go. Now we're holding nishtahi nishtaher. Okay, nishtahi nishtaher. So now New York State, New Jersey, the governor, the mayor, the president, they can't make up their minds. They want to fight. And all the rabbanim, everyone has their own opinion. Everyone is fighting. You know, it couldn't come out at a worse time. When you have a big event, you go to shul, not go to shul. So we're all fighting over this. But the point is, when you come to a matzav like this, there is a commemoration of the tzara, memorial for the tzara, and there's also an obligation to give Hashem shevach v'hoidah that there are survivors who can go on forward and can perpetuate the memory of those that were lost. There's a double requirement. The Holocaust, you don't get that. Maybe I'm totally wrong. I told you about the Talmid Rabbi Akiva. We have the mourning, and we have the mourning, and we have the Lag BaOmer. That's really the celebration of survival. We have Purim. Purim is survival. Tainis Esther is the commemoration of the Tzara. The Crusades, I don't know. We just have the commemoration of the Av HaRachamim. Is there something more than that? I do not know. There has to be a double focus. Commemoration and shevach v'hoidah for survival. This nusach, starting with la'olam yehi adam yirei shamayim b'seser v'agoloi, I want to suggest to you is the blend, is both. It is the doroi shel shmat. The first part from la'olam all the way until lefichach, this whole section is a commemoration of the people who died and suffered and were moser nefesh in the Doroi Shel Shmat, specifically the Asara Harugei Malchus. We read about them, La'olam Hi'odam Yirei Shamayim B'Seser Uvagoloi. These were people that were the real deal, Toichai Kibaroi. U'moida La'emes, B'lemes B'lvavav Yashkin V'yomar, B'ibon Kolomim Alo Al Tzidko Senach Matul Tachin Ufanecha. We describe humble people. Mo'anu, mo'anachnu, mechayinu, mechastenu, ma'atzid kaseinu, ma'yushu senu, ma'kachinu, ma'gruseinu.
And we write about ourselves, Haloi kol hagiborim ka'anshe Hashem hagiborim ka'ailef nech v'anshe Hashem kilohoyu v'acham kivlimadu nevim kivlohaskel. I don't know if this is correct, but I'm trying to read into this that Avol anach amcha b'nei v'risecha b'nei Avraham oyahavicha shenishpat l'bahar hamuria zera yitzak yichido shenekad al gabe hamizbeach. Okay, that clearly says it all. The people that were sacrificed, that were offered on the Akedah, Adas, Yaakov, Bincha, Bichaydecha, Shemei Avoscha, Shehafta Yisrael, Mislimcha, Shehasmachta, Kodosh, Shemo, Yisrael, Yeshuun, were describing the greatest of the great who gave up their lives. It's a commemoration, it's a memorial prayer. And then we shift, L'fichach, Anachnu, Chayovim, Lohoida, Yislucha. What are we thanking you for, Hashem? We're thanking you for survival. We memorialize those who did not survive, but we don't have a choice. Some reason, no one knows why. Why did we survive? We who are around to talk about it, chayavim lehoidois lecho uleshabechacha ulefaerecha ulevarech ulekadesh veloseh shevach lehoidoyo leshmecha. We can wake up every morning. They did not wake up in the morning. They were the Zera Yitzchak Oyhavoy that died Al Kiddush Hashem. Okay? They did not survive. But we survived. And therefore we have an obligation. And therefore we come back, we make the Baruch Baruch Hashem Mekadesh Shimcha Barabim. We can be Mekadesh Shinim Barabim. That is, I feel, to be something correct. An idea that is true here in this bracha. It is a bracha that commemorates the doiroi shel shemad, the generation of the asara haruge malchus, the generation that lived after the Churban Bayis Sheni. You thought it was over? The Bayis Sheni was destroyed. There were plenty of Jews still living in Eretz Yisrael. It wasn't like the Bayis Rishon. When the Bayis Rishon was destroyed, there was no one left, nobody. After Gedaliah was assassinated, it was over, curtains. There was no one there for 52 years. That's not the case after the Churban Bayis Sheni. There were plenty of people still around. And they lived in Eretz Yisrael, different places, go to the entire history, and then came along a tekufa where it was even worse than the Bayis Sheni, the Churban, of the Doiroi Shel Shmat, and many great people died, including the Asara Haruge Malchus, and eventually that era came to an end. And at that time, this bracha was established. Chazal were extremely clever. They took this opportunity to create a bracha, a complex bracha, including the theme of what it was all about, to say Shema before davening, and to commemorate, to memorialize those who died, but at the same time to recognize that if we are survivors, it is our duty to become better, and the achrayos of surviving is extremely, extremely great and intense. It's all wrapped up in one bracha. And this bracha, Shno, really, you know, it relates to us more than any other generation, because we are. But let me try to explain what I mean by this. What is so unique about the Asara Haruge Malchus? Go throughout history, there are always great people being murdered by the Goyim. And the details of their murder and their death are horrific. So why did Chazal dwell upon the Asara Haruge Malchus more so than other tzaddikim who died al Kiddush Hashem? This is a very popular question, and it is a very powerful answer. The answer is, there was never a time in Jewish history where so many people, in this case 10 people, Where so many people... Wait, just one second.
You want your phone?
I'm sorry,
what?
Is
it your phone? Is it your phone?
No, I want the drink.
There's nothing here.
There was never a time in Jewish history where so many people died. So 10 people died in one generation. The Asara Harugi Malchus did not die on the same day. The Asara Harugi Malchus, they died in a generation. Okay, it spanned 50 years, approximately 50 years, but that was considered to be one generation. There was never a time where there were so many great people, 10 people, and the truth is it wasn't only 10 people, it was a lot more than 10 people. These 10 people are highlighted, but there was never a generation where so many great people died in one era, in one tekufa. Now you'll say the Holocaust and the Hanami, okay, the Holocaust is modern times, but let's be very practical and discuss now, this moment. At least 1,000 people died. Shomrei Torah Mitzvahs, okay? In the United States, it's up to the holding up by 100,000 people, by Shavuos, it will probably tip 100,000 people on record who died from Corona. Among the 100,000 people in America who died from Corona, at least 1,000 of them were people who were Shomrei Torah u'mitzvos, if not even 2,000. I don't know if there's a way even to make the calculation, but it's a very, very high number. You read the obituaries and the articles in the magazines and newspapers, some of these people are off the charts. These are extremely great people. People, survivors of the Holocaust, people who were askonim, bali chesed, talmidei chachamim, they were Rosh Yeshiva, they were admoirim. I mean, the spectrum, there were women, noshim, tzidkaniyos. The spectrum, it covers everyone. And the stories you hear about these people, you really don't hear every day. You can't make up these stories, some of the things that you read about. You cannot make this stuff up. These are very special people. And they should all die within 2 months? Within 2 months? This is like this is a me'ain of the Asara Harugei Malchus. The intensity of the Asara Harugei Malchus was the death of a high level tzaddikim in one era, in one tekufa. It's not meant to be like that. It's not meant to have such a massive loss, such an intense loss, have so many talmidei chachamim pass away in one short period of time. We've gone through now a two-month period where the intensity of who died in such a short period of time is unprecedented, in at least since the time of the Holocaust. At least. It's a me'ain of what happened in the Dor HaShel Shmad. And in the Dor HaShel Shmad, what was the response of Chazal? They established this bracha, which begins with the word le'olam, and then goes into Lefichach, the obligation, and the end with Shema and Atahu, Baruch Atah Hashem, Mekadesh Shimcha Barabim. Mekadesh Shimcha Barabim is, like we learned last week, is now we are able to sanctify Hashem in public. Because in the past, in this generation, if you do something in public, you would be killed instantly. The best you can do is go into hiding to be Mekadesh Hashem's name, but not in public. Chazal here were very clever. They made a bracha to commemorate the Asara Harugei Malchus in the generation, and in that bracha, they presented sections. There's a memorial section, and then there is a section of commitment and an awareness of that we are survivors, an awareness that we have an obligation to thank HaChayovim LeChoydois, to thank Hashem, and an obligation to commit ourselves going forward to sanctify Hashem's name. We have an obligation. That's really the third part. The first section is to memorialize who these people were. The Giborim, the Anshei Hashem. We make mention of greatness. We don't even come to realize who these people were. And even they, we acknowledge, were nothing before you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but at least we acknowledge that these were great people. We're nothing connected to these people. And then, and we acknowledge their sacrifice. And then we have an obligation to thank you for surviving. And then the last section, to a certain degree, is an acknowledgement or an obligation of our responsibility. We demand to step up to the plate, an obligation to go forward and to sanctify Hashem's name. We say to Hashem, Kadesh Hashemcha Makdish Hashemecha. Sanctify your name on behalf of those that sanctified your name. The Kadesh Hashemcha Be'olamecha. Sanctify, we're asking Hashem to do this. That's what we're supposed to do. That's our duty. That is our duty after we acknowledge what has happened. This bracha is relevant for all of us. I was talking to Rosh Shiva recently, and he said to me, he has to do something. Now that we survived, when we come back to shul, he has to do something. We have to do something different. And what should we do? And he's struggling. He says, what, we're going to go? We're going to make an announcement. Don't talk during davening. Come on. This is going to go out the window. Talk. Don't bring in your cell phones. You know, these things, they're not going to last. They have no meaning. He wants very much to do something very different, that we can always look back and remind ourselves for many years of Corona, what happened. And what he was tinkering with, I don't know what the maskan is going to be, he was tinkering with, on Shabbos, they're going to institute in the shul, in the yeshiva, they're going to recite Anim Zemiros. Every Shabbos, Mikanu Laba, in the yeshiva world, they don't say Anim Zemiros. In Eretz Yisrael, it's a bit more common, but not in most yeshivas. And he's tinkering with the idea that now, when the yeshiva opens up for real, not, you know, outdoor minyanim and minyanim of 10 people and 12 people and this and that, when all the dust settles and it's over and it's safe to come out and you can take off your mask and you can sit next to your friend and talk to him during davening, when all of these things come to an end, he's tinkering with the idea that we now do something new. We'll drive everyone crazy because everyone can't deal with these type of things. We're now going to say every Shabbos, Anim Zemiros. Okay, that's a very bold move. I don't know what the maskana will be. Time will tell if he's going to actually go through with it. I think he's a little scared. I don't think people are going to be so happy to do it. But he's talking about it. I think another idea, I'm not suggesting, because see, this is something that we should anyway be doing, is this bracha. This bracha of Le'olam Yehei Adam Yirei Shamayim B'Seisiv HaGoloi, all the way through Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh HaShimcha Barabim, which in essence is a commemoration of the Doiroi Shel Shmad, and it's not just a commemoration, it's a summary of the whole episode. The recollection of what happened and an obligation to memorialize those who died and to give Hashem Shevach V'Hoida for surviving and to acknowledge that we have now a duty to move forward differently than before. This is very relevant for us. This is extremely relevant for us. There are very significant parallels between this bracha and that was composed in the aftermath of the Doros Shel Shmad. And our generation, the time that we're living in right now, the aftermath of COVID-19. There are parallels. And on a personal level, you know, if a person would be able to be mekabel upon himself every single day to say this, that's a very noble thing to do, okay? In shul, the nachin, whatever, everyone, but there is definitely something very deep over here in this bracha. Okay, there's a lot more about this. That's why I want to move forward. We only have 15 minutes left. Okay, there's a lot more to discuss about this, but let's you know, the svarma filled with the ideas and the halacha. Maybe we'll come back to it next week, but let's now, I want to discuss another idea, and that is in the idea of the carbon tamid. The Karban Tamid, if you look at the Karban Tamid, all of the things that are written over here in the Siddur, if you look in the Poiskin, they shy away from demanding that these things be said, are required to be said. Many people don't say these things. Man, not everyone says the Akeid every day. Not everyone says the Korbanos. And if you look in the Poskim, it doesn't say, they don't tell us that you must. It's a minhag, it's a nice thing to do, it should be done. If it can, not necessarily, in some Poskim, they're divided on what exactly should be said. As, of course, it's a nice thing to say every single word, but what is our obligation? The only thing that always recurs, that comes up again and again, that's on a different level than everything else in this section, after the Birchus HaShachar, until we begin Psukei Dezimra, that's in the league by itself, is the Karbon Tamid. The Karbon Tamid appears to be, in all the Poskim, on a different level. There is there's an outright obligation, or there is a much higher demand that it be recited every single day. The psukim, you have to say with all the hirotzins, just to say the psukim vayidaber Hashem el Moshe lemar tzav es b'nei Yisrael, the psukim that we lay on Rosh Chodesh. Now what's interesting is, after we recite the psukim in Pinchas, we recite a pasuk that's not in Pinchas. We recite the pasuk Vishachat Oisoi al Yerech HaMizbeach Tzofoyne Lifnei Hashem. A pasuk that tells us where the Karbon Tamid is slaughtered. It is slaughtered on the north side, Lifnei Hashem. Lifnei Hashem means when the door of the Mishkan is open. It's on the north side, but it has to be in an area that's before the Oel Moed, before the opening of the Heichel. And then it says, "V'zarku b'nei Aaron akoyanim estamo al hamizbeach saviv." You shall sprinkle the blood on the mizbeach on all four corners. Now the question is, why did Chazal, those that were Mesader, the Nusach HaTzfilah, did they add this pasuk, V'shachat Oisoi Al Yerach HaMizbeach Tzofayin? I mean, there are a lot of things. The Karbon Tamid is a Karbon Oila, and a Karbon Oila has a long set of rules. The Karbon Oila is the first parsha in Chumash Vayikra. There are many different rules and regulations for the Karbon Tamid. Why did we select this pasuk? V'shachat Oisoi Al Yerech HaMizbeach Tzofayinu. Why did we put this pasuk here? Now, so let me just first tell you a general pshat, okay? And then we'll talk about something a little more detailed. General pshat is there's a question. Why indeed do we slaughter the Karbon on the floor of the Azara? Wouldn't it make more sense to slaughter the Karbon Tamid on top of the Mizbeach? In fact, every Karbon. Wouldn't it make more sense to offer the Karbon on the top of the Mizbeach? Why? Why would that be a good idea? Okay, why would that be a good idea? The reason is because when it comes to the Akedah, it says there, okay, let me read you the part. Vayavoya v'amakam asher amar lo Elokim, vayiven sham Avram es ha-mizbeach, vayaroich es ho-eitzim, he arranged the wood on the mizbeach, vayakoid es Yitzchak bino, and he tied up Yitzchak, vayosem oisoi, he took Yitzchak, he put him al ha-mizbeach, mimahal lo etzim. And then it says, vayishlach Avraham es yado, vayikach es ha-macheles l'shchoit es bino. It says that Avraham was about to slaughter his child on the surface of the mizbeach. So what do we learn from this? We learn from this that the ideal place to offer a korban is to slaughter a korban, sacrifice a korban, is on the surface of the Mizbeach. And yet, nowhere in the entire Torah do we do this. The birds we actually do. The Malika is done, not on the surface, it's done on the Soivev. Okay, but let's put that aside for a moment. The bird is not actually done on the Mizbech, on the Soivev, which is also on the Mizbech, but besides the birds, there is no animal sacrifice that is offered on the top of the Mizbech. All of the animal sacrifices are offered on the bottom, on the floor of the Azara. But if the prototype, the paradigm, the model of Korbanos is Avraham Avinu offering Yitzchak on the Mizbech, would it not be correct to offer to slaughter Korbanos on the top of the Mizbech, just like Avraham Avinu offered, was about to offer Yitzchak on the top of the Mizbech? So this is a very popular question. And I have a sefer, I forgot the name, I do not remember the name of the sefer, and he says there an incredible idea. And he basically says it's a medrash. He cites the following medrash. Avraham Avinu, he brought Yitzchak to the top of the Mizbech, and he was about to slaughter Yitzchak. Suddenly the Malach calls out, Al tishlach yodcha el hanar, v'al ta'as loy me'uma. Don't you dare, don't touch Yitzchak. And Avraham Avinu, he says, but I'm holding already at this moment, how can I hold myself back? And the pasuk says, v'yiseinu v'yar v'hinei ayil achar nechaz basfach bekarnav. He saw the ayil. So the Malach said to him, take the ayil, and offer the ayil in exchange for your son Yitzchak. So he went down, he retrieved the ayil, and what did he do? The Medrash makes it very clear. He did not release Yitzchak from on top of the Mizbeach. Yitzchak was still tied on the surface of the Mizbeach, while Avraham took the ayil and slaughtered it downstairs on the ground on the north side of the Mizbeach, simply for practical reasons, because that's where he found the ayil. Now, if it was me and you, wouldn't we expect that Avraham should go to the top of the Mizbeach, he should untie Yitzchak, take him down from the Mizbeach, take the ayil, bring the ayil up to the top of the Mizbeach, and when he's on the top of the Mizbeach, now he will slaughter the ayil. But that's not what he did. He didn't do that. He let Yitzchak remain tied, bound on the top of the Mizbeach when he went down and he found the ayil. And the only reason why he did not take the ayil to the top of the Mizbeach was because it was occupied. There was no room there, because Yitzchak was still tied there on the top of the Mizbeach. This was considered, this is what it says in the Medrash. This is a Medrash. Never heard of this Medrash before. But this is what it says in the Medrash Rabbah. This was considered to be an enormous act of greatness of Avraham Avinu, not to let the moment go to waste. I plan to bring Yitzchak, and now the Malach is telling me don't, and instead offer the ayil as a sacrifice. I can take Yitzchak down later. That's not an emergency. I have to immediately bring the replacement of the ayil. I can't bring the ayil on the surface of the Mizbeach because there's no room, because Yitzchak is taking up all the space. So instead, I will offer the ayil on the ground of the Mizbeach, on the ground near the Mizbeach. This was considered by Hashem to be an enormous act of greatness, of zerizus, sincerity, to show how serious you are, that you still are willing to offer Yitzchak on the surface of the Mizbeach. Now you're telling me not to, and we bring this in an exchange. Okay, I'll bring this in as an exchange, but I'm not going to take him down. In fact, that's the other Medrash. I didn't tell you to offer him. I told you the Ha'alehu. Bring him up on top of the Mizbeach in commemoration. I'll get a little of this. In commemoration of this sequence of events, every single korban is offered on the ground. not on the Mizbeach itself. That's what it says in the Medrash. Really, a carbon logically should be offered on the surface of the Mizbeach. That's where a carbon belongs. But because Avraham Avinu, the whole sequence of events with the Akedah didn't work out, because the Malach, and he had to go down and get the isle, and Yitzchak was already still there, and he wanted to immediately seize the moment and bring the isle in exchange for Yitzchak, and not delay, and go through the whole Chagagah of taking, untying him and explaining to him and taking him down and bringing a new animal on top. He did not delay. The Chavivos is that every carbon should be offered on the ground, and the case of Yitzchak was on the Tzofin. Therefore, it's not enough for us to read the Akedah in Parashas Pinchas in order to bring out the zechus of the Akedah in its full glory. We also read the pasuk in Vayikra, V'shochat oiso al yerech ha-mizbeach tzofoina, sacrifice the carbon on the ground. On the ground, on the northern side of the Mizbeach, not on the surface of the Mizbeach. Okay, this is an independent idea. Okay, this is one idea. Now, we only have 4 minutes left. I want to tell you another idea of why we say this pasuk. And to answer this question, we have to first make another observation. And the other observation is, why is it in the Talmud that we read, do we make mention of Har Sinai? The Talmud appears in Parashas Pinchas, and in the Parash of the Talmud it says, the words of the pasuk are, Oilas Talmud Ho'asuya Behar Sinai, that was offered on Har Sinai, L'reach Nichoyach Yishela Hashem. Okay, the carbon tamid was offered not as a carbon tamid, but the same carbon of the oila, one keves, one lamb as a carbon oila, was offered at the time of Matan Torah on Har Sinai. And that's what it's, we read about this in Parshas Tetzaveh. At the end of Parshas Tetzaveh, talks about the carbon tamid. Same, the end, the sixth aliyah in Parshas Tetzaveh, the Talmud was offered in the Midbar by Har Sinai. It was offered there for 50 days, in fact. It says there for 50 days they offered the carbon Talmud. They offered the carbon Talmud. This was the carbon that accompanied the giving of the Torah. This carbon, Hashem in Parshas Pinchas says, it was so precious to me, that moment when you offered this carbon at Matan at Har Sinai, I want you to repeat it and do it every single day forever for the rest of your lives. I want you to bring the carbon tamid. This is going to be a repetition. It's going to be a reenactment of Oilas Tamid Ho Asuya Behar Sinai. What was done in Har Sinai, L'reach Nichoyach LaHashem. So it comes out that when we bring the carbon tamid, what are we really doing? We're doing two things. Number one, we're bringing a daily sacrifice. Number two, we're also reminiscing. We're reminiscing, we are reenacting Matan Torah. And then, at the end of reading the Psukim, we come to a pasuk in Parshas Vayikra. And the beginning of Vayikra begins, Adam ki yakrif korban laHashem. If an individual brings a korban to Hashem, and he brings a korban oila, and the last pasuk concludes, V'shachat oisoi al yerech ha-mizbeach tzofoino lifnei Hashem. What I'm trying to suggest here is, there are three ideas, there are three lessons being impressed upon us by Chazal every morning by reading these psukim. When you bring the korban tamid, when you reenact the korban tamid, there are three things to think about. Number one, you're in the Beis HaMikdash, and every single day we bring to Hashem part of Klal Yisrael. We are Klal Yisrael. The Karban Tamid represents the entire nation today. Hayoim, today. Number two, when you bring this Karban Tamid today, it's not just today. Connect yourself to the most glorious moment in your history, the moment of Matan Torah. when Klal Yisrael stood at Har Sinai was mekabel the Torah. Number three, you are an individual. Forget about the nation. Forget about the nation that's bringing the Korban in the Beis HaMikdash today. Forget about Klal Yisrael ki ish echod b'lev echod at Har Sinai that brought a Korban. Look at this Korban Talmud as something personal. Adam ki yakriv mikem Korban LaHashem, the beginning of Parshas Vayikra, an individual who brings a Korban LaHashem, and the end of the Korban Oila of the individual is Vishochat Oisoy Al Yerech HaMizbech Tzofoyna Lifnei Hashem. This pasuk was said to the individual, not to Klal Yisrael. It's Tak happens to be true that Klal Yisrael, you bring the carbon tomb, the Klal, they bring on the nose on the Mizbeach. But this pasuk in its context was said to the individual. So there are three things happening here. When you bring the carbon tomb, there are three things to remember. Number one, today, Hayoim, Klal Yisrael needs the carbon tomb every single day to daven to Hashem, to come close to Hashem today. Number two, remember your past. Don't just live a new life, live a life of forgetting your legacy. You have to connect to the past. And number three, it's not just a tzibur. Because if you look at the tzibur, a person can make a big mistake and say, listen, I'm just a little guy. Who am I? I'm just a nobody. Who cares about me? Klal Yisrael, they brought today the Korban Tamid. Good for them. I'm off to the races. I'm out there in the Meadowlands on the racetrack waiting for all those horses to come back without masks and run around the track. Okay, I'm not concerned. I'm just a little guy. Who cares? No, the pasuk concludes, don't get overwhelmed by the tzibur. The korbanos are for the yechidim. It's personal, even though it's for the tzibur. We quote a pasuk in Vayikra that discusses the individual, the yochid. And I want to suggest that's what it says in the Yehi Ratzon. The Yehi Ratzon concludes, Yehi Ratzon melefnecha Hashem Elokeinu leoseinu shetech amirzu chashuv mekbelos lefnecha ki'ilu hikravnu karban atamid. Three words. B'moy adoy, uvim koymoy, uchehil chosoy. Why are there three words? So I want to suggest the moed, the set time, that refers to today, the moed. The moed means in its set time. In its set time is the Beis HaMikdash, twice a day. There are zmanim for tzila, the shachris, there's mincha. Uvim koimoy. And we offer this in its mokim. What mokim? Oilas tomid hu asuya behar Sinai. There's only one mokim, the mokim. The mokim in the world where Hashem gave us the Torah. And then when it says, ukehil chosoy, according to its laws, I don't have an exact explanation, but it has the connotation of the individual. Halichos oylam lo, the way of the world is lois to the individual. Hashem, every there, tzaddikim, the word halicha, halacha is for the yachid, it's for the individual. Ukehilchos, according to its laws. The word kehilchos, I have a sense. I can't tell you at this moment, chapter and verse, but I think we can find proof that the word ukehilchos can relate to the individual. So when we conclude the Yehi Ratzon, we're saying, we're coming to reflect that this Korban Tamid indeed has three elements. The element of the Tzibur, as the for Klal Yisrael, as the element of Har Sinai, and Ukehil Chosoy, the last pasuk of Shachat Oso, Al Yerech HaMizbech Tzofoyna Lifnei Hashem. There are three, when we say the Korban Tamid every single day, we're connecting to Hashem in three different dimensions. The Beis HaMikdash, Har Sinai, and personally, not just the Tzibur. Okay, so that's today's shiur. To summarize, we lead you through today three different ideas. We spoke about the bracha of Le'olam, until Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh Shimcha Barabim, a commemoration of the Dor HaShmad, which includes a memorialization of the people who died an acknowledgement that we are survivors and we have a duty to give Shelach Vayda and our commitment going forward. The second idea is why we say the Pasuk Tzafayna. It commemorates the Medrash that Avraham Avinu did not even take Yitzchak Avinu, or did not even bother to take him off the Mizbeach. He immediately sacrificed the carbon, the ayil, on the ground. And then the third idea is that when we recite the Karban Tamid, there are three elements of the Karban Tamid: the Beis HaMikdash, Har Sinai, and the individual, the Yochid. Rabbi Yisrael, have a good night. Be well. Amir Hashem, tomorrow, 9:30. Take care.
Everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Thank you, Mark. Rabbi?
Yeah.
Amos is already being said in Young Israel type for sure.
Of course, I'm talking about, I know. I grew up saying Adam Zimiros every Shabbos.
What I would suggest is Avinu Malkeinu, which contains some very important tefillah.
I know, but Avinu Malkeinu.
Shalach before Seinu. All these things are aspects of this virus.
I know, but Avinu Malkeinu, you can't say it every single day. You can't. That's said on Tainus. That's reserved. That's something you can't say every single day.
That, yeah.
I'm talking about things that should ordinarily be said.
Say it now,
every day. Right now, there are people now. Right, there are people now. Right, there are people now that are saying it. Right, there are people now that are saying it every single day because we're living in an Eis Tzara. Absolutely, but generally, when society goes back to normal, it's not proper to say Avinu Malkeinu every single day. Avinu Malkeinu, in a normal, when things are normal, are only said on a Tainus, Aser Simei Teshuvah. You know, but Anim Zimios should be said every Shabbos. Anyway, it's supposed to be said. Why don't we say it? We're lazy. People can't. They can't. They have a attention span.
Being said, and I've done it for many years.
I know.
Of a shul.
I know. In the Young Israel, I know. I know all about it.
Many shuls that
Of course.
Not yeshivish Ashkenaz.
Of course. You're supposed to say. To reinstitute what should have been done from day one. Absolutely.